January is the most popular month for booking a holiday, and with the weather getting colder and the days gloomier, it's easy to see why many people think about getting away from it all. A week in the sun, perhaps, a city break, a few days somewhere nice and cosy. To celebrate the new year, Justin Rowlatt chose an unusual destination for a romantic getaway with his wife.
The road runs straight and black into the gloom of the snowy birch forest. It's -5, the sky is slate grey, and we're in a steamy minibus full of strangers. Not very romantic, you're thinking, and I haven't yet told you where we're going. My wife Bea had suggested a cheeky New Year break. Just the two of us, no kids. Surprise me, she'd said. Then I met a bloke at a friend's 50th. He told me how much he and his girlfriend had enjoyed a trip to Chernobyl. That's right, the place where a nuclear power station blew up in the 80s, causing the worst nuclear disaster in history. Don't worry, my new friend declared, a large glass of wine in his hand. It's safe now. Well, she'd said she'd like something memorable. I booked the flights and a tour of the huge exclusion zone created when the Soviet authorities evacuated the 300,000 residents. It was only when I told a couple of female friends my plan that I began to have second thoughts. You are not serious, they'd sputtered between gales of laughter. B was certainly surprised at the departure gate when she finally discovered our destination. Really? Chernobyl? She'd asked with a frown. On the plane, she did concede that it would probably be interesting. But she was anxious, and with good reason. Like me, she remembered how the radioactive plume had spread across Europe to the UK. It contained 400 times the radioactive material produced by the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined. A day later, we boarded the tour bus. Our guide, Anastasia, produced a Geiger counter to measure the radiation level. It showed 0.23 microsieverts an hour in the centre of Kiev, less than London. It will be even lower in the zone, she assured us. It didn't feel safe, though. Soldiers armed with Kalashnikovs inspect your documents at the two checkpoints on the main road, and, once inside, it is eerily empty. The first stop is a kindergarten just a few kilometres from the reactor that blew up, Reactor 4. Dolls have been placed artfully on the wrecked beds by previous visitors. You just click the shutter and select a spooky filter. B is chilly as we explore the abandoned building, but she's clearly fascinated. And the town of Pripyat, built for the Chernobyl workers, is even more grimly spectacular. On the bus, Anastasia had put on an extraordinary video of its heyday, soaring tower blocks, sweeping boulevards and green lawns, all in super-saturated 70s colour. Smiling residents wobble by on bicycles. It was a model town, she tells us. Foreign visitors would be brought here to see what life could be like on the other side of the Iron Curtain. Now it is a ghost town, stark monochrome in winter, the Soviet Union's Pompeii. The vast central square is slowly being reclaimed by the forest. Trees have punched up through the concrete and asphalt. The huge apartment buildings stare out dead-eyed. Anastasia points out the sign that still stands on top of one of them. Let the atom be a worker, not a soldier, it reads. We take the obligatory picture in front of the big wheel in the derelict amusement park. But Anastasia's Geiger counter shows the creepy images belie the real risk. The wreckage of Reactor 4 is now encased in a $1.7 billion new sarcophagus designed to contain radiation for 100 years while the plant is dismantled. Even here on the viewing platform 300 metres away from the giant structure, yep, there is a viewing platform, the reading is just 0.95 microsieverts per hour. You're exposed to more than 2 an hour on the average long-haul flight. We stop by a monument to the fireman who died during the clean-up after the accident. It's a crude concrete sculpture, but it's obvious that for Anastasia, this is the heart of the visit. These heroes died horrific deaths, she tells us, misled by the Soviet authorities about the real dangers they were tackling. It is evening by the time we get through the last checkpoint. B&I buy hot tea from a souvenir kiosk and joke about how they're commodifying the disaster with radioactivity phone stickers and fridge magnets with photos of the ruins of Reactor 4. "So, what did you think?" I asked nervously. A flurry of snow swirls around us. B takes a slow sip of her steaming tea. "You know what?" she says, obviously enjoying the moment. "I think this visit has been a reminder of just how resilient nature can be." She stares meaningfully at me. There's a long pause, and then we both laugh. I lean over and kiss her.